Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Airman First Class Zeeshan Naeem.
That's right. This is his first podcast. Welcome, Naeem. This is so weird to hear your own voice on the mic.
Yeah, it's really awkward, and you know, I'm going to be editing it, so I'll have to be listening to my voice over and over again.
But yeah, hey. It's not a good time. All right, so why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I've been in the Air Force for 2.5 years now, been active duty at Tyndall the whole time. It's been great. I've been doing PA, just got out of my first deployment, or got back. I was in Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar. It was a great time, learned a lot about the Air Force, and you know, it's been a great experience.
It's one thing doing PA stateside, but when you actually get to go do a deployment, it's totally different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different. You get to work with a bunch of different airframes, meet people from all over the Air Force, see how culture varies from, you know, one base to another, make connections that, like, when I PCS, I'll make friends and I'll remember you from my deployment.
Yeah. My very, very best friend I met on deployment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was trauma bonding, but it's lasted. We've been besties for like 15 years now. So you meet like great people, and I think those kinds of situations brings you closer because you're both like, it's such a small group of people going through that similar situation.
One thing about deployment is you're pretty much forced to be with the same group of people.
Yeah.
And you guys get really tight knit, form a close bond, and it's almost sad to say goodbye to the people.
But it's such a small career field and small Air Force, you'll probably run into them again.
Yep.
So don't worry. And this man took some sick photos while he was out there. Oh my God. I mean, like, Department of Defense picked him up. Big Air Force picked him up. He was published everywhere. He's a very humble man, but he knows he's a good photographer.
I'm all right.
He knows it. And now he's playing daddy airman to all the baby airmen here. It's exhausting, isn't it? It's like having kids, huh?
Thankfully, I don't have any kids, but it's been an experience. I find a lot of fulfillment in doing proper training and actually making sure they understand the processes versus like, oh, read this and, you know, do that. Actually making sure they understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
I find that it makes me happy at the end of the day.
Yeah. It's always, I mean, you're not there yet, but like at a point in your career, you get to see like how your influence will impact your airmen and how it will benefit them and make them great leaders. Mm-hmm. If you're a good leader, you stop focusing about yourself and worry about your younger airmen. And I agree. It's very fulfilling to see that happen. So what have you been doing since you got home from deployment?
My first week back, I'm like, wait, I can go grocery shopping and I can eat off base.
Yeah.
I mean, I was able to eat off base out there as well, but it didn't feel as normal, I guess.
Right.
So really making the adjustment, it took a week. I have roommates, they're all in the Air Force, they're great people, and they helped me adjust back. And it was a transition, but it was a good time.
Good, I'm glad. Life experience. What has been your favorite part about being at Tyndall thus far?
I do look forward to work. I really started on the right foot with living in the dorms, going through FTAC and making connections. One of the benefits of being PA, we meet everybody. There's a lot of networking opportunities. I have a great circle around me, I'd say that.
Love that. You always have to have a community behind you. The more support you have, the better you'll be in the long run. Yeah.
We have cool jets, a lot of construction, you know, perfect roads. Traffic's not even bad or anything. I mean, yeah, it's
that was amazing. Total sarcasm.
The jets, I actually do like the jets. We have cool F-35s, and we have checkered flag. We have WESAP.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to attend the air show with me to do the podcast? We've been requested by the fans to do it live.
Yeah, that sounds like a great time. It sounds a little hectic. What it's going to sound like with audio, especially with air show going on.
Exactly.
It sounds like a challenge that should be worth tackling. Yep.
Yeah. So in the next 6 months, Naeem and I are going to try to figure out not only how to live broadcast, but how to make it sound not awful. It's not just like the speech part. It's going to be the background noise because there's going to be so many people there and jets flying. Yeah. And we will figure it out, though.
Okay.
If that's what the fans want, that's what we're going to give them.
Yeah,
and I'm working on designing swag. Did you know we had a fan club?
I did not.
Yeah.
Can I join?
No, but you can be the vice president of it.
Let's go. All right.
So I get random pieces of fan mail. It's either like on Teams or a random email, and they'll give me, hey, you should have this person on, or you guys did a great job. All of this was so great. But the one suggestion was the air show. Mm-hmm. And the other was that we create our own merch and sell it at the air show for our booster club.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, this should be interesting. We're going to try. If we fail,
it'll go good. It'll go good. Okay, we can't manifest failure.
Okay. All right. Yeah. This is why you're here.
Yep.
He's also here to be our younger generation translator.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll add some lingo into maybe bridging the gap between generations. I'll try doing some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So translate this one, Naeem. I mean, I know what it means because I have kids, but I hear this quite often in my house. Oh no, I'm cooked.
That's a great one. Cooked is actually it's very different. You can either be cooked or you can be cooking. If you're cooking, that means you're doing really great. Like, ooh, I got this very good video I'm working on. I'm cooking. Or you can be cooked. Yeah, no, honestly, yeah. I'm cooking on this very good video. Or I'm cooked because I missed my deadline. Cooked is like the opposite. Like, oh, you know, I'm in trouble. So yeah. I'm cooked.
But, so double meaning.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, cool.
Yep.
Gotta love this generation. Here's another one. I think you're going to be a great co-host. No cap.
Thank you. Yeah. No cap.
Decipher. Go ahead. Decipher for the listener.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, I've actually taught you about no cap. That's why it was so natural, you know?
Yeah,
For people who don't know what no cap means, it's like no lie.
There you go.
Yeah.
What is mewing?
Mewing is so crazy. It's like brain rot. It's so dumb, but it's a thing. Mewing is, it's like the art of flexing your jawline to make it look sharp.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm mewing right now.
He just did the motion.
Yeah. We're going to have some great leaders in the next 20 years.
Yeah, for real. They're going to be like, no, man, that's so sus. Anyway, so you'll be here for 6 months at least, everybody.
Yep.
Unless y'all protest and keep him here longer. But, all right, enough about us. Enough about Z. He's going to be here. So our guest today, let's talk about them. Mm-hmm. For the first time ever, you and I are going on location.
Yeah. We're going to a real bougie place.
Yeah.
Off base, working with some recruiters who are the best of the best at their job.
Yeah. I am looking forward to it. I did not have a pleasant experience with my recruiter. You did, though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We're definitely the opposites. Yeah. Four opposites on that.
And I do not want to talk negatively about anybody. Yes, I might make sarcastic jokes, but everybody does great at their work and everybody's job is important no matter what AFSC you're in, right? Mm-hmm. So recruiters, obviously, super important to keep our numbers up, right? But they're going to dive into more of like the nitty gritty. What is it like to be a recruiter? What is it like having the stigma on recruiters? Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be super informational and it might help some people questioning whether they want to enlist or try officer, you know, hopefully it answers some questions for people.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great way to even break the stigma or really understand the process behind applying to be a recruiter or like understanding how much work they actually have to put in to meet their numbers and get the right people for the right job.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, stick around because after this break, we'll be back with the recruiters.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website, tendo.af.mil.
All right, today we have two special guests. They are not even part of Team Tyndall, so this is super awesome. We're on location for the first time with podcasts. We're down in Panama City Beach, where there's a big recruiting semi-annual conference.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah?
Yes, ma'am.
Happening, so we decided to talk to some recruiters that have a little bit of time under their belts. So, gentlemen, introduce yourselves.
Well, hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Chief Master Sergeant Trent Brandstetter. Been in recruiting for a little over 19 years now. Been in the Air Force going on 25. And I am the Senior Enlisted Leader for the 331st Recruiting Squadron, home of the Warriors, out of Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama.
That was a riveting introduction, Chief. I am Senior Master Sergeant Darius Perry. I am the Production Superintendent for the 331st Recruiting Squadron. I've been in the Air Force 21 years. Been in recruiting going on 12 years. Absolutely love what I do, love our mission. We cover pretty much all the state of Alabama, most of Georgia, and then the panhandle of Florida. We have a small piece of South Carolina that we cover as well.
So yeah. What entails like your coverage area? Just like a mile radius or?
Yes, ma'am. So it's 121,000 square miles. We cover major cities, Augusta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, Montgomery, Alabama, Birmingham,
gotcha.
Out to Tuscaloosa, down to the Panhandle, Mobile, Alabama, Panhandle, Pensacola, Panama City, all of those areas.
Wowzers.
Yes, ma'am. So we have about 62 enlisted accessions recruiters that are throughout that AOR. Yes,
ma'am. So you both have been doing this a pretty long time. What do you think is like the biggest motivation behind why you stuck around so long?
the first and foremost for me is I grew up as an Air Force brat. So my dad was a B-52 maintainer.
And, that's so cool.
Yes, ma'am. And I fell in love with the Air Force as a kid. When it was time to graduate high school, I was looking for something to do. The Air Force was a natural fit for me. I started off as a POL troop, fuels troop. Just fell in love with the Air Force. Mm-hmm. Fell in love with the teamwork, the organization, just the way people are treated. And I've stuck with it and got into recruiting and fell in love with it and never looked back.
Yeah,
my story is just a tad bit different. I actually went to college, you know, following the American dream, go to college, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I wasn't as mature and ready for college as I thought.
Does that mean? You were a party animal in college?
I was, yes, ma'am, yeah. You know, kind of when you go to class and the professor's like, I don't care if you come or not, here's your syllabus. You already paid me. So I didn't show the class.
Oh, my
So I went back home and my mom said, you're going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I actually joined the Marines. I was in the Marine delayed entry program. And my mom was a prior Army. She's prior Army. And she said, I just want you to go talk to the Air Force recruiter and at least just hear the Air Force out, hear what the Air Force is all about. And I went and talked to the Air Force recruiter and he made me feel like he had a secret that he wouldn't tell me.
That the Marines and the Army didn't have?
That the Marines did not have. You know, the Marines, they would call me every day. They wanted me to come work out and all of this good stuff.
Yeah.
And the Air Force guy was like, it's your choice, man. You know, you can go to Marines or you can come in the Air Force. If I were you, I'll go Air Force, but it's 100% your choice. And that feeling of something that was tangible there that he wouldn't give to me, it's like I had to earn it.
Right.
It stuck with me.
Yeah.
Fast forward, I end up getting out of the Marine boot camp or delayed entry program. Joined the Air Force, obviously. About 8 years in, I actually became a recruiter. Something that I kind of always wanted to do, I wanted to be able to go back home and change lives because I do feel like my recruiter changed my life, whether unintentionally or intentionally. He legitimately changed my life and put me on a better trajectory.
Right.
And then the Air Force, you know, someone said, like, being a recruiter, the Air Force is literally going to pay you to talk all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's what hooked me, and that's what has kept me in being able to see lives that we have the ability to change as an Air Force recruiter. I've had the opportunity to put my son in the Air Force. I put my little brother and sister in the Air Force. So this is legitimately a family business, and it's something that I truly, truly believe in, that the Air Force is changing lives daily. So what
jobs did you put them in? Did you recruit them?
I did,
What
actually.
Jobs did you give them?
Yes, ma'am. So my son is a dental assistant. He's stationed in Elmendorf at J-Bear. My little brother and sister. My sister was a TMO troop. Brother was a RPA tech, or I forget the official term for it. So they're happy with it. You know, they're both super happy with it.
Yeah. So what do you think distinguishes the Air Force from other branches of the military in terms of, like, when you're recruiting, are you pitching to them, like, our mission, our culture? Like, what are you getting to say to them to hook them?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'll take a swing at it for sure. I think there's a multitude of things that we, you know, utilize to inform applicants of the different benefits that they can gain from the Air Force. Obviously, culture is always a big thing. The Air Force sells itself these days. We don't necessarily have to talk to them about all the great things, because either a family member that was in another branch of service is going to push them to the Air Force.
Yep.
You know, nowadays we got airforce.com, there's apps, there's Reddit, there's Facebook. You know, so most applicants, they walk in the door wanting the Air Force. So at that point, it's a matter of proving to them that we can earn their trust, you know, showing them what the culture is, showing them what, you know, the other side of them on that chair looks like as an airman. And so a multitude of things, again, I would say, obviously all the different Air Force benefits that we have, education and quality of life and all those things. But honestly, me personally, I pride my team on being able to be trusted.
Yeah.
Being able to be a value added asset to that person, because that's someone's son, that's someone's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can gain their trust and show them that the Air Force is value added to their life, then normally it helps them make a great informed decision.
Love that. Yes, like, transparency is
absolutely
key. Like, it's not back in the day where they would promise you, oh, you want to be security forces, you're just going to ride ATVs all day. Okay, so what are the Air Force's big current priorities or, like, strategic focuses when it comes to recruiting?
There are a lot of initiatives that are going on within recruiting, not only from a marketing standpoint, brand awareness standpoint, but processes and procedures to make things smoother for entry, qualification, you know, not necessarily changes, but the way that we approach qualifying an applicant, how we obtain documentation through the MHS Genesis portal and things like that to enhance efficiency. But what it's really all about is, from the highest levels of the Air Force, Secretary McDown, it has been about reinvigorating warrior ethos, rebuilding our military, and reestablishing deterrence. Those are the main priorities that the Air Force are getting after, and that translates all the way down to recruiting. Mm-hmm. It starts with us finding the very best and the very brightest that we can possibly find that put our service in a position, both the Space Force and the Air Force, the Department of the Air Force, in a position to further those priorities in the near term and long term by putting the right people in the Air Force in the first place. So that is what our priority is. We're heavily invested in that.
This is probably a question for Senior. Are you like more of the boots on the ground kind of guy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Just to clarify.
I still got skills now.
Come on.
Nah, Chief is, we didn't say Chief was a legend for no reason. He'll get his hands dirty.
I'm sure. What do you guys think are some of the most in-demand careers right now?
Man, so every career field, you know, we don't discriminate on any career field.
Yeah.
Because every career field has their own needs. But the ones specifically that I would say are in demand, obviously security forces. That's the Air Force's largest AFSC or Air Force Specialty Code. So they're always in demand. We always need, you know, airmen to be security forces. We got our special warfare operators that are out there that they are truly, truly in need. That career field has such a high attrition rate that we see constant turnover, which keeps a continuous need to replenish, you know, mm-hmm. that flow. And then obviously we're the Air Force. Our primary mission is to fly planes. So I would say security forces, aircraft maintenance, also electrical, avionics type deal.
Yeah.
And then special warfare for sure would be probably the big four, as we call them. Every job in the Air Force, I will find you someone that loves it,
yeah.
and I will find you someone that hates it.
Yeah.
And I'm talking X-ray technician,
yep.
security forces, you name it. Every single job in the Air Force, I'll find someone that loves it and someone that hates it.
How does the Air Force attract and retain talent in like the high tech fields, like cybersecurity or, I don't know, drone operators? Like,
yes, ma'am.
How do you guys recruit people like that?
I mean, those jobs recruit, they recruit themselves.
Okay.
Almost probably 80% of the folks that walk in the door, they want to do something cyber. They want to do something mm-hmm. tech. And it's fully understandable. You know, that's the future. That's the future of the world. It's like walking into McDonald's. I can only hire so many people to be cashiers.
Yeah.
You know, and so the Air Force, a lot of times people think we have an unlimited supply of jobs, which we don't. But those jobs, they kind of sell themselves.
Chief, you've been doing this a hot minute. Like, what's one of the coolest stories that came out of your recruiting experience?
Oh, out of my recruiting experience?
So yeah.
I would say when I was an enlisted sessions recruiter in Muskegon, Michigan, shout out to Michigan, I covered the western shore of Michigan or a large portion of it. And we have a program, it's called the Softbook Program. So it's where you can enlist high school juniors that are 17 years old with parental consent. They finish out their senior year, but what they become is an ambassador within our schools. So they go through the medical processing, they go through the testing, they go through the swear-in and all of the MEP stuff that you do. And then they're committed to joining the Air Force after they graduate with a diploma. And they have a certain pool of jobs that are set aside for them. So it's a very lucrative program for them, and it's very helpful for us. And during my time as a recruiter there, like, I really invested in my school programs because that's what it took to be successful in that area that I recruited in. I had to be a part of the community. I had to build those relationships, and I had to be tied in with that network of influencers, those educators. So I put a lot of time, effort, and energy into my schools, and it really paid off for me, like my second year out there, where my second year, I had 10 juniors in my delayed enlistment program.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am, delayed entry program at the same exact time. The third year that I was out there, I ended up with 13, and five of them were out of the same school. Well, fun fact, that school, when I arrived there, there was no recruiter visitation allowed.
Wow.
They were super strict. And by the time I left there, it was like, do a presentation whenever, wherever you want to.
Yeah.
I had 5 students out of the same class, and 3 of them were like cousins, like brothers and cousins out of the same family. So it was like, when I got to ship them to basic training, like their parents were there, their grandma was there, their grandpa was there. It was like this big, huge family reunion. And I think that was the moment where I was like, this is a super cool feeling to be able to change lives like this. And it's so hard to put in words or on a pamphlet or in a job description that this is what recruiting is all about. This is what being a part of the community is all about. So that was a super cool experience for me.
That's so awesome.
Well, I just want to put in perspective how much of a legend he is and what he just said.
Yes, do tell.
He said 1 year he had 10, one year he had 13. As a unit right now, my 62 recruiters have 26.
What?
26 out of 62
recruiters.
What magic
were you whispering to them?
Exactly.
That's it. And I don't know about all this legend talk, all right? So we're going to have to back off the legend talk here, all right? I'm just a guy, right? Yeah, so, no, I'll be honest. The magic that I whispered to them, and I know this will sound cheesy, I transparently and honestly told them what the Air Force was all about.
Yeah.
I told them my Air Force story. I told them what it did for my life. I told them that they will not find a better person that is more capable of starting a career for them. If they commit to me, I commit to them, and I'll get them a career started. And they did exactly that.
That's
what I promised. Like every single applicant that I ever worked with, I promised them that.
Yeah.
And those that followed through with it and were able to commit to that level and do what they needed to do, they started a career. I mean, there's a guy that I put in the Air Force last year that made Chief Master Sergeant.
What?
Super cool.
That's so awesome.
And he gave me a call like when he made it. And he's like, hey, he's like, you remember me? I'm like, of course I remember you. He's like, I made chief. And I was like, wow. Like talk about full circle. Like, you know, it's super awesome. But that's all I did. There is no like secret sales stuff or anything like that that you hear. It's just about being transparent, being honest and taking care of folks the way that you want your folks, like your kids or your family or your friends to be taken care of. Just shoot them straight and show them what the Air Force has to offer. And the Air Force does sell itself. When you take the time to show them what it has to offer.
People all the time, if it were not for the Air Force, I would probably, you know, be much worse off than I am now.
Right.
I have had so many opportunities thanks to the Air Force, not just education-wise, but career-wise. Like, I got to go eat dinner with the Princess of England.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Like, awesome. Who gets to say that, right? Yeah. There's just so many unique opportunities in the Air Force that normal civilians will never experience.
Absolutely.
So I am a full advocate for Air Force changing lives.
So can I flip the script on you and ask you, what was your recruiting story?
Okay, so full transparency.
Okay.
My recruiter, I knew I wanted to go in the Air Force because my dad was a 20-year Navy vet. He said, you will not do anything else except the Air Force. They're spoiled.
Fair enough.
I said, okay, good deal. Yep. So I knew as a junior I was going to be in the Air Force.
So you're a soft book.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were what Chief was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went to my recruiter, but she gave me a warning. She was like, look, I'm going through a really nasty divorce right now, and I really don't have the time for this, so what do you want to do? Like, that's how she opened it up to me. I was like, okay. I told her I wanted to be PA, and at that time we had auditions. So she slapped the script in front of me. She's like, just read this so I can record it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So I thought it was about enunciation, but in reality, that audition is like, they want to hear your broadcast voice and how you read it, you know.
Right.
And so I failed. They came back and told me my voice was too raspy, or that's what she told me. Joke's on you because I got my own podcast.
Look at you now.
So I went in open general.
Okay.
That was scary. When I got there, they asked me, have you ever held a camera before? Because I don't know, on the recruiter side, like, do they see that I auditioned for PA or no?
Oh, they would certainly see that if you submitted an audition.
Absolutely. Yep.
So they must have seen that I had flunked the voice, right? And they were like, can you operate a camera? And I was actually very good at photography. So I was like, yes, immediately yes. And they were like, okay, you're PA.
That's
so it worked out. Yeah. It worked out. She was not good, but
fair.
She was going through life. You know, I understand. Yeah. I'm empathetic.
Yeah.
Now, as a married person, I get full scope. But as an 18-year-old, I was like, girl, get your life together. Like, I got to go in the Air Force.
Right.
What was, like, your most impactful moment? Was there, like, a certain, like person or maybe moment that like as a recruiter you're like, dang, like I'm really changing somebody's life, and like, you know, like something that like really stood out to you, like as an impactful moment?
The very first person I ever put in the Air Force, his name was Rafiq Ponce Jones. He had been trying to get into the Air Force for 8 or 9 months, and the recruiter before me just couldn't figure it out, couldn't help him. So I showed up first day in my office. I had no idea what I was doing. They just gave me the keys, gave me a phone, and gave me a GOV and said, go recruit, go change lives. And so I showed up to my office first day, and he knocked on the door, and I opened it up like, hey, how you doing? Come on in. And he was like, oh, you're the new recruiter? And I'm like, yeah. And he was like, man, I've been trying to get into the Air Force for, you know, like 9 months. The recruiter before me, for you, said he couldn't help me. So we sat down, we talked through his situation, and I'm like, hey, man, listen, I'm brand new. I'm still trying to figure this out, but I promise you I'll do everything in my power to get you into the Air Force. And I would say 6 months later, I got him to the Air Force. He went in the general aptitude area as well. He didn't have the best ASVAB scores, but he really wanted to. I recruited in North Philadelphia. He wanted to get out of North Philadelphia, and I told him I'd do everything in my power. So we worked and worked at it, got him medically qualified, got his ASVAB scores up, and he went in general aptitude area, and he ended up being a paralegal. And when he came back on RAP, his first day of RAP, he brought his son, he brought his mom, and he brought his grandmother, all for all of them just to say thank you. Thank you to me. And for me, I was like, I was just doing my job, trying to figure out, like, he was a guinea pig for me, you know? But that guinea pig completely changed a human being's life, you know, and to see the impact that it had on not only him, but his family as well, you know, his son, his mom, to see the pride in her eyes. His son was just a little baby. He was probably, I don't know, 8 months old or something. So he sticks with me. We still keep in touch on Facebook and all of that stuff. So I'll never forget, you know, Rafiq. He was probably the most impactful journey or experience that I've had as a recruiter. The very first one. You know, they say you'll never forget your first. And, you know, it was a very good experience.
I love the stories of, like, I've spoken to other recruiters of, like, somebody that's just, like, so down in life, like, can't get a break. And they come to y'all, and you completely change their life. Like, an Oprah show. You know what I mean? Like, you get a car. You get a house. You know, like.
You get a VA loan.
You get disability eventually.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's be serious.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Gen Z, maybe late millennials are coming to y'all more often, right? So is there any different tactics that you're using for the newer generations coming up? Like, they're so, I don't want to say tech savvy, but they're like the generation of screens, right?
Yes.
Is there anything different you're doing?
Honestly, we are actually doing the opposite, because Gen Z, they don't know life without a cell phone,
right?
And so we try to do opposite, and we try to mail them things.
Interesting.
Folks don't get mail that much anymore.
That's,
you know,
true.
So imagine a 17, 18 year old that's getting a letter that's handwritten to them that has their name and everything on it, and it says, hey, you're qualified to join the Air Force. It's a completely different feel.
That's very
right?
true.
Right. They almost feel like they're getting letters from a college or whatever the case may be, and then it becomes a big deal.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like one of the ways where we try to think outside the box.
Yeah.
The box is a cell phone. We try to think outside of that. Inside the box, obviously, we've adjusted to where we're very, very big on social media.
Yeah.
You know, that's where this generation is. They're on social media. They're on, you know, obviously, we can't get on TikTok, but, you know, there's a Snapchats and the Facebooks and Instagram. Not so much Facebook. That's the older generation. But Instagram, very, very heavy. We try to be very intentional about teaching some of our recruiters who may not be as social media savvy, teaching them about, you know, how do you properly use a hashtag and how do you tag high schools.
So you talk about the millennial recruiters.
Yes, ma'am. Correct.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Don't
yes,
worry.
Ma'am. You know, and so sometimes they look at me like, Sir Perry, how are you going to teach me about social media? And I'm like, it's kind of my job. I've had to learn how to figure this thing out type deal. But just trying to meet applicants where they're at, trying to think outside the box and do things that's going to spur their interest and kind of, you know, catch them at an angle that no one has caught them at. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
That threw me off guard. I thought you were going to throw some like crazy tech at me, but you said, I handwrite a letter.
Handwrite a letter.
That's wild.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, 100%. You know,
hey, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Yeah. I mean, right now, imagine your parents coming to you like, hey, you got a piece of mail.
From the Air Force.
From the Air Force. Yeah. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm interested now, you know, and even if it's something that they hadn't thought about it, then you're going to think about it now.
Yeah.
Because that piece of mail just made you feel important, made you feel like, oh, man, this is an opportunity for me.
Yeah.
You know?
So recently we've gotten a couple of new airmen, but they're all 30 something year old airmen.
Mm. Yes, ma'am.
Do you guys see like a high trend in that happening right now?
It's more than what it used to be in the past. Because at this point, we can recruit someone up to 42. As long as they're in basic training before their 42nd birthday, they can join the Air Force. And so with society and where, you know, some people are in life, the Air Force is a great option for them.
Yeah.
And honestly, those applicants are sometimes better because they're more mature. They know what they want. You know, they're focused. And we've actually put an additional kind of column of Air Force benefits, if you will, support column, where we're focusing on, you know, the CDC, we're focusing on family and health advocacy and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Where someone who is in 30s and they got kids, they have a family, they may not care about education.
Yeah.
You know, some folks are joining with bachelor's degrees these days, you know, and so we're trying to make sure that we have all the different avenues and opportunities that we can give folks to say, hey, this is something that may benefit you and your family, even at 30, 32, 36 years old.
That's crazy.
Yes, ma'am.
I can never imagine joining at 30.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to BMT and your TI is 23, yelling at you.
That's insane.
That's a tough one.
In your recruiting years, what do you think is the most common reason somebody, an applicant, has been disqualified to join the Air Force?
What do I think or what do I know?
Okay, facts. Only facts.
Hands down, medical.
Medical
okay. history for a myriad of different reasons. Yeah. But you can get into, you know, law violations and past illegal drug use and different factors like, you know, citizenship issues and things like that. But overarching, it's going to be a combination of medical issues to include like weight standards and things like that, all wrapped into that medical umbrella.
Gotcha.
For sure.
Gotcha. Do you see a lot of waivers, or is that more of like the Marines and Army that do medical waivers?
No, we certainly see our fair share of waivers. The Surgeon General waiver process. That's the thing. Like most, 40 to 50% of applicants, their first time going down to the MEPS, will be disqualified for some reason, which typically revolves around medical.
Interesting.
And then those cases, once the CMO and the medical professionals have received the needed documentation in order to make a case to the Air Force Surgeon General, that'll flow to the SG office, and then they'll receive a medical waiver, which is about... It runs 60 to 70% approval rate right now.
Oh, okay.
So there's certainly, like, after that first disqualification, it's not the end of the road.
Yeah.
It's just the process is lengthened a little bit to make sure that the service is taking on the risk that, you know, that they want to take on.
Right.
So
right.
They go through that process, approve them, and then it's, you know, no harm, no foul after that. It's great. You're authorized to join, go down and get in the delayed entry program and call it a day.
Nice. So don't give up hope.
No, not at all.
Please don't.
Yeah. And on that note, like, for anybody listening, listen to what your recruiter says.
Yes.
Like, your recruiter's going to tell you exactly what you need to do, like when you need to be there, what documents they're going to need, or what the process is going to look like. Just follow that process, and the process works. Just when we're in a hurry and we're excited about starting a career, it's like, oh, this is taking so long.
Yeah.
It's really sped up a ton over the years to where it's a really efficient process. We got some pretty awesome professionals doing that process, so it's working out pretty good.
What is the biggest misconception that young people have about joining the Air Force?
Senior, I'm going to let you start this one off.
He's like, I want to touch it.
Man, I can go so many directions here.
The biggest one
is that recruiters are all liars. That is the biggest misconception. Recruiters are, you know, and I'm not going to say, you know, some people don't stretch the truth or not tell everything. So communication is something we're constantly harping on. But like Chief said not too long ago, our recruiters are always just trying to do what's in the best interest of the applicant and make sure that the applicant is taken care of, because that's their job. That's literally their primary duty. That's what they come to work to do every day. So I'll say that's the biggest misconception. The second probably misconception about the Air Force is that everyone goes to war. And everyone, you know, has to fight or get shot at or whatever the case may be.
Definitely not.
You know, you go into to high schools these days, and most people, a lot of students, they don't know the difference between the Army and the Air Force. And so they see us in OCPs, and they're like, oh, you're the Army. And I'm like, my name tape clearly says Air Force. If you just read.
It's okay. I know Air you're Force. A teenager.
Yes,
it's fine.
You know. But one of the first questions that, you know, they'll ask in a classroom is, you know, well, if I join the Air Force, do I have to get shot at? You know, and so it's like,
why? Just going straight to the worst.
Just going
okay,
straight
cool.
to the worst case scenario, you know, or they'll ask you, have you ever seen anyone die? Like, no, that's not my job. Like, you know, and so I think those are probably the two biggest, you know, just helping them understand that everything is not Major Payne, what you see on TV or, you
know
Call
Payne
of Duty.
Is.
Probably not. You know, everything is not Call of Duty.
Yeah,
you know, if you
yeah.
join the Air Force as a, you know, dental assistant, you're going to clean teeth no matter where you're
yeah.
at. If you join the Air Force as an aircraft mechanic, you're going to work on planes no matter where you're at.
This is true.
You know, so just helping them understand that. As far as, you know, what each one of the different career fields do and their responsibilities are their responsibilities.
True.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. I would say I would be remiss if we didn't, you know, give a shout out to your listeners who are considering becoming a recruiter. Please don't shy away from it. Recruiting is challenging, but it's a great challenge. It is literally a developmental special duty that every day you are going to develop a different skill set. Every day you're going to encounter, you know, different situations, people from different walks of life. Every day you have the opportunity to come to work every day and change someone's life.
Oh, I love
it's
that.
Legitimately an opportunity that, you know, a lot of people do not get. There is a lot of negative stigmas and, you know, thoughts that are out there behind recruiters. When I first was coming into recruiting, I was told, you know, recruiters eat their own, and recruiters, like, it's a tough world, and you can't get promoted. And I came into recruiting as a staff sergeant, and I'm a senior master sergeant now, you know, all being promoted within the recruiting world. So you have an opportunity to come here. You are literally among the best of the best in recruiting. You know, so you can come here, you can shine, you compete every single day, and you can push yourself as far as you want to go. So if you're considering it, please, you know, visit your local recruiter, go do rap, you know, and just ask questions, you know, spend a week with them or whatnot and see, you know, how their day operates. But it's definitely a challenge that I would put out there. We are always looking for people who are enthusiastic, who are excited about life, who are excited about the Air Force, and who want to help others. So please go see your recruiter and talk to them and if you're considering it.
All right, everybody, that will wrap it up with our two big wig legendary recruiters. Thank you both so much for doing this and letting this be my first on location podcast. I love this.
Oh, this was great. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for this opportunity to have the opportunity to speak to, you know, Team Tyndall and just talk about the recruiting mission is great. And hope some folks took some things from this. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, I had a blast doing it and really appreciate you taking the time to be out here. It's super cool and we really appreciate it. It's awesome being able to talk and just get information out there to folks. So thank you very much.